Before we get started, there's something you should know about the Chonilla podcast. We like to cuss. And if you don't want your kids to hear it, then listen to us when they're not around. But if you don't mind your kids listening to grown folks talk, then turn this shit up and let the show begin.
Well, I've been called the devil.
This is called the White Man's Blues.
The White Man's Blues?
Yes, I've been called a devil.
Okay, I'm acting like a noob right now.
This has all kinds of layers of racism to it.
Nice. Hey, sister's here.
I swear I never heard no one.
I'm sis.
So please don't hate me for what my granddaddy might have done.
Is this a blues song to black people? By
I
a
think
white man?
So, yes.
Because it's only what he might have done.
Wow. Because it's only money when he matters.
It gets better.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
All I want to do is lift this shroud. All I want to do is make my mama proud.
And all in his video.
Are you proud, mama?
It's
proud,
like,
mama?
It's like signs that say, like, all lives matter.
Oh, you kidding? So it is his blues song for black people.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Can't hear the music though.
Oh, did you plug them in?
No. I bet you that's him playing the guitar.
Probably. Can you feel his burden, Shirley?
YouTube makes you think you can walk play.
Confused does not mean phobia. Oh boy.
Oh man, I wish I could patch the music so everybody can hear. His solo is too long. I wanted to hear the rest of the lyrics.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Is he gonna come in?
I think so. This song's like 6 minutes long, eh?
Why? What's... Why? You know what?
What's that, honey?
He's trying. He's like, how...
I was told I was born privileged.
I was told I was born privileged.
Not like
yes,
I recognize
I
my privilege.
Told I was born privileged. Yes. Yeah, you don't want to own the fact that
you are
have
privileged.
You done the work to realize? Yeah.
As if the pigment in my skin.
Because of the pigment of my skin.
Made me put the work in.
Made me what?
Good Lord, it's my paleness of sin.
Made me put the work in. I didn't realize my paleness was a sin.
Who is my paleness now?
Your paleness is not a sin.
Boy, bye.
All I ever want to do is lift this shroud.
Let's lift the shroud.
The shroud is white guilt.
Yeah.
All I ever want to do is make my mama proud.
You can still make your mama proud. I mean, this song is the beginning.
Is it, though?
Yeah, well. It sounds like there's 3 more minutes of guitar. I'm out. Wow.
Hey, everybody. You are listening to the Chonilla Podcast, and I'm Chloe.
And I am Shirley, a.k.a. Lori Montag. And you are listening to the Chonilla Podcast, the personal comedy journal of an interracial couple who explores the world from different perspectives and experiences.
On this beautiful Sunday, November 17th at 6:45 p.m.
in the motherfucking Eastern Time.
That's right, in 2019, y'all.
I did that under one breath. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah. I like how you kill that every episode.
My goal is to always do it in
I
one
love
breath.
It.
Diaphragms. So, Chloe, my AKA today. is Justice Lori Beth Montag. Ontario has appointed her at 10. She's one of 10 new judges to the Ontario court system effective October 11, 2017.
Okay.
She is the first black woman judge in Ontario. And she was called in the bar in 1987. She was most recently a deputy crown attorney and was previously an assistant crown attorney for Peel Region. Justice Montag is a volunteer board member with Operation Springboard and has also volunteered with Victim Services of Peel.
That's pretty hot.
And she is a Chief Justice Liz Maisonneuve has assigned Justice Montag to preside in Toronto. And what she says is, there are people who paid for me to be here, and they include my parents, who I am incredibly grateful for. She said, they made me believe I could do whatever I could be in spite of challenges along the way. I am here because of them. It's my time now to pay for others following me.
That's very nice.
It's her time, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, Justice Lori Beth Montag.
Congratulations.
You're a justice now.
Congratulations.
A new judge of Ontario.
All right.
A black woman. How you doing, honey?
Pretty good. Speaking of greatness, the word of the show is foible.
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 Foible. Foible. Not fable.
Not fable. Foible.
Foible.
And the context is there. They are often very forgiving of others' foibles and flaws, at least on the surface.
Oh, of their bullshit.
Yes, of their bullshit.
What is the meaning?
It's a minor weakness or failing of character, slight flaw or defect.
They're bullshit.
They're bullshit.
You know, you're on some foible.
Yeah.
And I don't need this right now.
I don't have
now.
To put up be with like, your foibles. Thank like, you.
Foible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's, yeah.
Proper BS.
That is the nicest. That is reserved to white women.
And I learned that word reading Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect.
What? Say that again?
The book that I read that from?
Yeah.
That I learned that word from?
Yeah.
Was a book called Running on Empty, Overcome Your Childhood Emotional Neglect.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're reading that right now?
I've been reading it, yeah.
How many books are you reading right now?
I don't know.
That means it's a lot.
Yeah, it's whatever I feel like reading when I'm on the bus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Kindle tells you where you left off. That's the nice thing about Kindle, right?
Kindle comes with a bunch of free bookmarks.
What would you guess your guess be of how many books you're reading right now?
At the moment?
Yeah.
Oh, five?
That's okay. That's pretty good.
Okay.
Good job, Oprah.
She reads five books at a time?
She probably reads like...
five books in a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She like makes me think like, because I can't understand how she reads so many books so fast.
Right?
She must be plugged into the Matrix or something. She must have so many people doing shit for her
that
she has nothing but time to work on her creativity.
I'm sure she still has to do a few checking and, check markings,
just stuff she wants
skimming
to do.
Through. Yeah.
Just stuff she wants to do. She's so rich, she doesn't have to do anything she doesn't want to do.
That's why her process of hiring must be hardcore, just to make sure, like, look, I have to have the best of the best.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to go
El Cremo del Crapo.
I ain't got time to go through all this. So make sure I don't have to worry about it. You just tell me where to stand, where to go, how to be, how to stand, how to, you know what I mean? What to breed, what to eat.
Yeah. So synonyms for foible are frailty, quirk, crotchet, and eccentricity.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Will I use that word? I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
This is pure foible, Becky. Or Francine. Foible Francine.
I won't stand for your foibles any longer, Becky.
Foible Fabian. That's the thinking of different F white names.
How was your week?
It was good. Cool. I got out of my comfort zone this week. I really pushed myself to come out of my 3-year hole since moving to Toronto.
You're like a turtle.
I was totally a turtle on Turtle Island.
You know what? You say that, but it's totally not true.
Oh, no. Remember the first
year? I know. I said it. You agreed with me, but it's totally not true.
Okay. Well, the first year when we moved here, I was so gung-ho. I was like, okay, I'm going to make connections. I'm going to try to like get out there. People get to know. I was doing really, really well.
Still are.
And I just kind of stopped because I think I went through a bit of like a PTSD.
Ooh.
Because of all the bullshit we went through in Montreal.
Whoa.
So I just needed to kind of like exhale.
That's understandable.
Just kind of like.
That makes sense.
Woosah the whole thing. Because when you're in it, when you're in some foibles of life.
Some foibles.
Yeah, some life foibles.
Yeah.
it you don't realize you're so in it and all you're trying to do is just kind of come up to the surface. Like, I can only imagine
it's
swimming.
Like treading water.
Treading water that's full of bullshit. Like, it's full of shit. And it's smelly and it's thick. And it's like, ugh.
You don't want it to touch your lips.
At all. So you're just like coming out and it's
man.
And I think during those 3 years, everything was just like, you know, like with our son and, you know, now he has support and school and everything is just kind of like, oh, this is not so much bullshit. And then you realize you're hit with it. You're like, oh, my God, my muscles and my mind and my spirit and all of that is like, oh, my gosh, that was a lot.
Yeah.
And it's just it took me that long to kind of
decompress.
That's yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It's like it takes you a while. You know, you get to see that everything is, you know, still on a regular basis. Like the sun is coming up at the regular time. And, you know, the universe is still in balance.
Yeah.
And everything is still predictable. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying because of the roadblocks that they were just throwing in our way.
Yeah.
Just like making it so difficult.
Yeah. So it's just that time of kind of, breathing and putting yourself back together in this whole, because it puts you in a maze, in a puzzle that you just, you know. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel really confident.
Well,
I didn't
you
feel
deserve
good
all the time you need.
Thank you. I didn't feel good to step out. Like, it just hit, like, all of a sudden, it was just like, my brain said, nope, we are not going to keep busy in order for you to not look at this and feel what happened.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's where I was at.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay.
So it's like, nope, you cannot move forward without, like, taking a time out.
Yeah, this needs to be addressed so you can put it away for later.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're not going to get into this keeping yourself busy because this is my brain said, nope, not going to do it, protesting. Hell no, won't keep busy. Hell no, gonna deal with it. Hell no. You know?
I know it's hard. Hell no.
Yeah. So that's what happened. And now I'm like,
fuck you if you don't get it. Hell no.
Hell no, if you don't get it. Hell no, get therapy. Hell no.
Hey.
So yeah. So that's anywho, so now I feel like with everything we're doing and just, you know, being creative again and you know, like I just felt like I'm getting my juices back and you know, I'm feeling my way and I feel more I feel more better and, you know, about where I'm at now and about myself to kind of step out. So I went to a summit.
Is centered a good word?
I felt more centered.
Okay.
I felt more, I did the work to get out of my thought process, like worrying about what people think because I was really in that. And I was like, you know what?
I still can't shake that sometimes.
Yeah, it's not easy.
It's a hard one to shake.
Yeah. So so yesterday, on Monday, I found out that I won some tickets to this amazing event called Move the Dial. It was started by, it's all about leadership of women in tech.
Cool.
And I have a little clip I want to play.
All right, let's do this.
It's really hard to be a woman in the technology and digital space. I experience the lack of diversity, especially in leadership roles in tech, on a daily basis.
There's missed opportunity. There's people that are left behind.
Incomes move the dial to help expedite the change.
Our goal is to advance the leadership and participation of all women in tech. This enables not only the women to thrive and succeed, but also the companies to build incredible tech solutions.
Move the Dial inspires and galvanizes a community of leaders to take action.
We really can't afford to leave half of our talent on the sidelines.
One person cannot design for everyone. The more diverse our teams are, the more likely it is that our technology will actually reflect the entire population.
Inclusivity ensures that the lens captures all women.
So yeah, so that's Very Cool by Jodi Kovetz. She is the CEO and founder of this summit, Move the Dial.
I love the language they're using.
Yeah, it was really dope because, like, it's one thing to say that something is inclusive, and you're like, then you look at the speakers and the workshops, and you're like, they look a lot like the status quo. Where's the diversity? But to actually see, there are so many cultures of people that were represented, you know, not just That's like great. Black and white, but you know, like Asian, South Asian, Indigenous,
That's
you
great.
Know, like they did at the beginning of the meeting. What's it called?
A check-in?
Kind of like a check-in.
An introduction?
No, to recognize the land.
Land acknowledgement.
So they did that.
Okay, cool.
But also they gave space right after for an Indigenous woman to talk about being in tech and things like that. So that was the starter of the summit. You know what
Great.
I mean? Yeah. So it's like she's like doing amazing, cool. And what's cool about it too is that when you are part of the Move the Dial in the app, you could see every single person. And that's the idea. Moving the dial is to kind of make connection in order to help within the app everyone who has gone to the summit.
Gotcha.
And you have access to like communicate and make connections.
That's amazing.
Right there, which is really, really cool. It's something I am considering to go like every year. And it was cool. Like there's so many people I didn't know. Like, you know, some again, because I've been a hermit and.
It's not true.
I have.
Okay.
Compared to the first year, I was out all the time.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Well, maybe not all the time, but okay. More often than,
okay.
You know.
Sure thing, honey.
Yeah. So, So what was I going with that? It was just nice.
The Dial is awesome.
Move the Dial is awesome. Very inclusive. You don't just like.
You were hermiting. You said you were hermiting for a while, for a year.
It was cool. Like, oh, yeah, people that I didn't know. You know, that I've been following and that I recognize
yeah.
and we made connections.
Right, right.
People that I've been wanting to make connections with.
Getting like a face-to-face.
Yeah, like, I want to connect with this person. And it's like someone that I've been wanting to for quite a while and to actually like see that person and
That's
be like,
great.
Okay, I'm going to make great. This happen.
Yeah, you told me some of your conversations. You guys, like, you had some connections. You had some nice chemistry and you know, that's awesome. And you're so money. Like, how can you not? Anyways,
not last like this time. Yes, thank you, baby. I look forward to go like again another year and next year. I mean,
that's great, hon.
Yeah, it was fun. You better watch with that drink and put it over there.
You better watch it with that drink
because I'm seeing you. Booby.
Fine,
I'm
mom.
Like...
Fine, mom.
Okay. How's your week?
It was good.
Yeah?
It was good, yeah. I was feeling a little bit sick at work on Thursday and stayed home on Friday to help get better
Rest
from that.
Up,
and, you know, good news, I didn't throw up. So, you know, the fever
You're
went down and it
broke. You're not pregnant.
Woo!
You are not the fuck.
But other than that, the week was good.
Are we bad kids because we made our kids see the Maury show, remember? Like this week, they saw the Maury Povich show. Does that make us bad parents?
No, it was good learning opportunities. It was good discussion kickoffs.
They were like, what is this?
Yeah.
And we were wondering, like, how does Maury do this? Like,
oh, that one girl.
That's a long, which one?
That
with the two guys?
Yeah, and none of them where the father, our girls were like, what?
The weird thing about the...
We're like, it's complicated.
They're like, what? The weird thing is that her god aunt?
Yeah, I
or was it her god?
I don't think I was following it that.
Yeah, her god aunt was like all in her business.
Everybody was in everybody's
and
business.
And she's all like, yeah, this is so and so baby, and you can see the resemblance.
Oh,
and I've been telling her that that's not so and so, that's not D and D baby, but so and so. And I'm like, the whole time,
and she was false the whole time.
Right. I'm like, why are you even like in this?
Have you been asked to be a representative on all things her pregnancy?
Yeah.
Or what? Like, what's happening?
And then when the baby wasn't both of theirs, she's all like, it's okay, girl, I got your back. I was like,
right?
What is going on?
Right.
I'm thinking you were in the business because maybe you like one of the guys. She just wants to be on TV.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Ew.
She just want. Ugh. It was, she just wanted attention.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Yikes.
It was very, very strange. Very strange.
Am I getting into this news?
Okay, before we get into the news, I want to share one more thing that I went to.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It's called, I went to this awesome event. Jodi Ann Beckford was the hostess. She's like this amazing photographer and podcaster.
Jodi Ann!
Of the E! Project, and she put together this this event called Nurture Plants, Nurture Yourself. I'm not laughing at the event. I'm just laughing at there was one white lady that was there.
Okay.
And she was thinking so. She's like, should I be here? I don't know if I should be here. But you know what? I realize that there's like, you know, there's so many shades and so many colors, you know?
Right.
And we, you know, I didn't just realize there's so many colors and so many shades. I'm like, of people of color? Is that what you're saying? And then she's like, and so many beautiful hair of different colors. And then she rubbed her hair and she's like, you know, this is like fake hair, huh? She said her hair was fake.
Why though?
Because she's wondering, are all y'all hairs real? That was her weird pseudo not asking, is this your real hair?
Yeah, it's because, okay to tell me.
Because she, you know, all black women, because it was predominantly black women were there.
Wow.
First of all, like, shout out to Tanya, who owns Mudo Yoga in Pickering.
Okay.
She's had this space for 10 years.
Hot yoga.
Hot yoga.
Sweaty, moist, hot yoga.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm surprised I didn't like sweat that much. Like, not, well.
Were you putting the work in, Shirley?
I was. But you feel it after you stop. Like, I thought I would sweat as you're doing it. When you stop moving, when it's like,
yeah.
Whoosh.
You came home, sat down for like maybe 15 minutes and then tried to get up and you're like, fuck. My body is fucked. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was good pain.
And you fell asleep fast. You were just like, you know, Clove, I think I'm going to go to bed.
I think
I'm going to go to bed. And the reason that I think you were shocked is because it was only like 10 o'clock. And usually you're in bed at like 2 a.m. or something, you know what I mean?
I'm a late, I'm a night owl.
Exactly. Yeah. So then you're like, yeah. I think I'm going to go to bed.
I did say.
Okay.
We're trying to watch family movie night, trying to watch Claws on Netflix.
Yeah. So I brought the laptop upstairs and, you know, and yeah, and was doing my show notes.
Did I snore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was I out snore or regular?
You're done. You're like, you know what, Dave? Fuck you.
Sound like that.
Yeah.
I don't sound like
that.
No,
you don't sound
like
that. I'm projecting right now.
Were you like, fuck her. Hippie yoga.
Super.
I'm out
long
here
snores.
Doing show notes.
So loud. Jesus.
So so then the lady, so she goes, you know, beauty colors and then different hair. She's like, you know, this is my fake hair. And then there's this other girl. Jeez, I keep forgetting her name. She was like the spoken word artist she does spoken word. And
nice.
She was there to do a spoken word after the yoga session.
Very
like,
cool. Very
so
cool.
It was yoga session, lunch, spoken word. And then Jodi Ann, the owner of Mudo Yoga, and this other girl who did like a meditate. No, after the meditation talks, after we did our yoga, there was like a meditation.
Gotcha.
Is it called directed meditation? Anyway, so.
Oh, where she's like guiding you through
she's
it?
She's guiding a guided meditation. Guided, thank you. Okay. Guided meditation. It was so dope. So, so dope.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, it was like what, a good 30 to 35 women.
Sure. Okay.
Predominantly black women.
Yeah.
Two white women.
Right.
And that white woman, that lady, I'm going to call her Melanie Mudo. No, that's not fair because it's giving the yoga place anyway. Melanie Yoga and her daughter was really like taking it in. She looked like she was 13-ish. Yeah, she looked like she was 13 years old. And even when there was like at the end when we talked about the very end, talking about nurturing herself and plants and how plants can help you with that, help with your anxiety and growing plants. And then she was asking the crowd, like everyone who's open to share some of their affirmations and what they do to kind of, you know, and stuff like that. And her daughter was like lifting her hand and she was like so into it. It was so cute.
So
in a way, it's good Melanie Yoga didn't like want to leave. That, and I really hope her daughter picks something up from it. And there was another white woman who was not taking space. She's like, I'm here to stretch.
And sweat.
And I'm to sweat. Oh, good food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she would like talk to a few people, but she was just not in the way. You know what I mean? So when
she wasn't like, hey, let's talk about me now.
Every moment. And she's asking, you know, when someone's asking you questions, they don't really want to know the answer. And you're like, I know you're just doing this to feel, make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's when it's like, you know, they're not comfortable because even if there's a silent moment that makes them super nervous, let alone, you know, surrounded by black people.
So it makes me super nervous when things get quiet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, she was saying things like, I've been here so many times. So Tanya's the owner?
I know. That's when you were telling me this, I was dying.
We're like,
inside.
Yes.
Because the constant reminders of like outwardly projecting, like, I didn't know the owner was black.
I had no idea
she was black.
Well, is this like does she have a side hustle?
Did she say side hustle?
Side hustle.
She said hustle.
Hustle. And then she said, well, because you know everyone in Toronto has like a side hustle. Really? In your community? You know, a lot of people have side hustles. You know what I mean? She was just projecting and just like.
Right. She can't be making a lot of money, can
and then
she?
You don't understand how many times she was. I heard her go around different people saying.
I had no idea.
Tanya's the owner? I come here all the time. And then she was saying things like, you know, I can come here all the time. And, you know, there's not a lot of like. You know, like, it's usually people like, you know, I was like, people of color.
Right.
And I'm looking at her. She's like, yeah.
Let me help you.
You know,
you.
It's not a lot you. Of yeah. white people. She's like, yeah. And then it's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then she's like, so is Tanya like.
You should have let her suffer to spit it out.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she. Repeated at
I can
least.
Understand feeling sorry for her.
Right.
Yeah.
And then she repeated again, like, I just didn't know if I should be here. And I said, well, you're here.
Yeah.
Like,
you're here.
Because you know why she was saying that? She was looking for me and the other girl who's a spoken word girl to be like, no, it's okay. Yeah, you totally belong here. Stay, like, you belong. Are you having fun? No, both of us. None of us. All the black women in that space was not giving it to her.
Good.
And that, I think, was making her mind explode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was just like, happy. Like, somebody, because you could tell she's not comfortable.
Oh.
And she's not comfortable to say, you know what?
This
has been
my
yoga sanctuary that's predominantly with white people. And I'm finding out right now that the owner is black. And like, that's exactly what she was going through, but she can't, like, you know, she's never been around that many black people. I think
she was screaming inside.
Not even I think. Yeah. You could see it, you could feel it. She's screaming inside and she's just trying to like, and she's like,
not only she is black, but you mean she's been the owner for, because she would ask things like, so how long has she owned this place? And someone, Jodi Ann, would be like, oh, she's been here for like 10 years. Actually, next week, she's having her 10-year anniversary next week.
How about that? How about that?
Exactly. And then she's like, really? She's like, so, wow. So, but is that like
her? That's interesting.
She's like, is that her side hustle? And then Jodi Ann would be like, no, she's been doing this full time 10 years. It's just she works in the community. She volunteers her time. She goes and teach in these communities of needs. You know what I mean? Like she's saying she works with the young and she has like professional teachers that she hired to be running the space.
I'm wondering if she's like fantasized about owning a yoga studio. And now she sees this and she's like, but I'm white.
Yeah. And then when she said the, you know, like, cause I have fake hair and we're like, and we're looking at her and we didn't,
Melanie,
no reaction from us. And then we're like, okay. And then she's like, you know, because my hair is blonde, my hair is really white. That's her idea of fake hair, is her hair color.
Wait, what?
Yes.
What?
She was trying to weirdly relate.
Okay, wait a second. So she was trying to relate by saying she's not wearing super white hair because her hair is whiter than what she's...
Than her blonde hair, because her hair is colored blonde. And that it makes her hair fake because it's not her real hair color. Her real hair color is really white, but she... colors her hair blonde. So that's what equate for her to being fake hair.
Oh, so she wasn't even wearing like tracks or anything. It was just like
it's her hair.
Like, so she used the word fake because she dyes her white hair blonde. And she says this is fake hair.
And that's her, I think, weirdly trying to relate because she knows in our, like in our community, in the black community, that we wear like wigs and weaves. But, you know, some of us have our natural hair out too.
I don't know. Like, do you give it A for effort? Like,
what
do
you do? No! That's stupid what you just said, Melanie. No!
Nope.
No pass.
Wow.
No bueno.
Yeah.
Ça va pas marcher.
That no make it.
Exactly. So, she was just, you know what though? Shout out to Melanie's fear of black people. Because that was so entertaining.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine that, like, has there ever been a time where you're like, you know what would make this meeting perfect?
But here's
a nervous white person.
Here's the beauty in all this. Her daughter, I think, kind of knew she's on some foibles.
Okay.
And her daughter sometimes, I'm thinking, would be, when I would look next to her when she was sitting across from us, she ain't there. She was not there. She was gone.
Right.
She's mingling. She's getting food in the other room.
She doesn't want to be connected
to her
mom.
She's going into her mat. She's just kind of like moving about in the space, just being in the moment,
right.
You know? Like,
right.
For her, probably was like, wow, like, I've just never been around black people.
Right.
You know? But, like, probably like, wow, I'm in a space and there happens to be a lot of black people.
Right.
That's her daughter. But her mama, you know. That talk in the van back home.
Is it just me or is it really dark in here?
Yeah, she's probably going to be like, Mom, you know, you can't say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, who knows, man? Maybe these kids are super woke and they know what they can and can't talk to their parents about.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe they know exactly where their parents' blind spot is and they're like, yep, I'm not touching that.
She just knew not to, like, I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah.
I'm just here in the moment. Just like the other lady who was actually younger than that woman too.
Yeah, our kids are gonna hold us accountable as fuck.
The other white woman who was there, she was like in her 20s.
Mm.
And she knew.
Right.
Like, okay.
Right.
I'm just here and in the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't got to, you know, answer all my curiosities about black hair products at this very moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Melanie Yoga was awesome. It was very fun.
Good for her.
It was fun. Because you were like, oh, I'm so sorry. Shirley. Yeah. I was like, no, don't be sorry.
Horrible.
It was entertaining as fuck to see this woman shooketh. It was so great.
Take a number, Debbie. Sit down.
News, news.
I like the news, news.
News, news.
What is in the news?
Yay,
the news is not bad. Sometimes, and sometimes it is bad.
Absolutely. Secret sister gift exchange are actually pyramid schemes, according to Better Business Bureau. There's a gift exchange called Secret Sisters that has spread through social media, and BBB is saying to be very careful. The name sounds just like it's another Secret Santa experience.
Oh, my God.
But they're warning that the so-called exchange are scams that require participants to be continually recruiting more people. The concept is advertised as a way to connect people and spread the joy of the holiday season. Cheery post or group invitation spread through Facebook claim that all participants have to do is purchase one gift, usually valued at around $10, and provide basic information such as their full name and address, and encourage their friends and acquaintances to sign up as well. And that in the end, they would receive like up to 36 gifts or something like that by going through this whole pyramid.
So it's a gift pyramid exchange scam.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So after signing up, your information joins a list made up of strangers who signed up before you, and you have to send the list and the invitation along to your own friends and wait for further instructions. The problem is that it relies on the recruitment of individuals in order to keep the plan going, just like any other pyramid scheme.
Oh, Jesus.
So without a max.
So we would have to tell, like, if we got involved in this, we would have to tell six people to buy us six presents?
Something like that.
That's ridiculous.
So without a maximum cap of people and an even number of people to match up like in an ordinary Secret Santa, the gift supply ends when the chain fails to find new participants.
Right.
This means that hundreds of people could end up disappointed, not even receiving any gifts in return themselves. So be careful of those, secret sister gift exchange.
Yikes.
And also, you know what? Now you have your information is like out. Mm-hmm. You're just giving your info, and they could do whatever with it. They could sell it.
Yikes.
You know, they could sell that list to like, I don't know, advertisers or
for anybody
sales.
Who's willing to pay for it.
That's true. What's your news?
Two women were attacked by a bigot who ran as a candidate in the last federal election.
Where?
In Canada.
What?
So the asshole that founded the Canadian Nationalist Party and ran as a candidate in the last federal election attacked two women in Regina on November 1st.
Wow.
Yeah, he was charged with aggravated assault causing bodily harm, and breach of probation. So this got me thinking, like, you can run as a candidate while on probation?
Huh.
I gotta ask somebody about that. That's crazy.
You must be white.
So this asshole's name is Travis Patron, and he's a totally, like, a raging bigot. When CBC reached out for comment, he said, "We disagree with the charges that have been put forward, and we are willing to dispute them in court if necessary."
Mm.
So the two women, who are 33 and 43 years old, had to be taken to hospital for treatment after the attack. And turns out that Patron had been talking to the two women earlier and was offering them a ride. The police say that when they spotted him and tried to stop him, he refused to be stopped and carried on.
What?
Yeah. So they like wanted to talk to him and stuff like that. He's like, "Nope, no thanks. I'm just going to leave now." And he just left. But they winded up getting in contact with him and convinced him to come to the police station for an interview.
Oh.
So he came to the police station for the interview, and that's when they arrested him. Yeah, and charged him for the assault.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's supposed to go to court like November 27th or 20th or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You should follow up to see if what's if hopefully he gets charged and goes to jail.
Yeah, yeah. Let's hope.
Yeah. Oh, Colin Kaepernick says no to NFL workout and holds his own session for media. So I don't know if you heard that. So I saw this, like, Colin Kaepernick is about to run this, like, NFL is going to pay him to do, like, this whole workout session to invite the other teams in the NFL to do this workout session. And I thought, what?
Wait,
kind of shit is that?
Wait, so he has a workout regime that he follows that's good for him.
Yeah.
Right?
So the
and the NFL is saying now you have to teach this to everybody?
So here's what happened. So Colin Kaepernick's NFL workout did not go as planned after he abruptly changed the venue in at the last minute. The league is accusing him of not showing up for the event. So the
so he was supposed to go to practice and then went somewhere else.
So he was supposed to do like there. So they were gonna invite like they invited different teams.
Gotcha.
Like
for what though? People is it just
to
like,
do like a workout? Like this is my workout plan. This is what I do. This is how I throw.
Like a
this
con, like a convention,
like a workshop.
Oh my god!
Like a live workshop of seeing his workout, like what he does.
Okay, right? Sounds good. Sounds
and
good.
I thought. That's stupid.
Why? That's knowledge sharing.
Just get him. I feel that's patronizing. Personally, okay. I feel that's a little patronizing.
Okay, break it down for me.
Because it's like you won't hire him back to be back playing as a player.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I know they went through some kind of settlement and stuff like that. But now you're like patronizing the guy. To do this workout, like, just shut up and get it, like, just hire him. Somebody in the team get him already. I just feel it's, like, patronizing and waste of time and, you know what I mean? Like, petty as fuck. And
well, maybe they're like, trying to, like, suck up to him a little bit. I don't know.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. It's just, I just thought,
first of all, okay, so the story is he was supposed to be at this, like, summit workshop where he's going to be talking to other people in the NFL. He's also going to be talking to other team players and maybe other teams from other teams,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, and then he just basically said, I'm going to change the venue.
Yes.
To be over in this building.
Yes. So, at a high school football stadium.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And what was the reason for the change? Just because he, okay, sorry.
So he said, private workout for dozens of team was scheduled Saturday at the Atlanta Falcon Training Center. Instead, he skipped the NFL-sponsored event and held one of his own in Riverdale, south of Atlanta. Afterward, he met with fans who flocked to the new venue and told the league the ball's in his court. So he said, you are waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running, he said.
Mm-hmm.
Who hasn't played in nearly 3 years following a season in which he protested for social justice. Stop running from the truth, he said. Stop running from the people in a lengthy statement Saturday evening. The league said it was disappointed by the last minute change of venue. It said it happened half an hour before the start of the event. And more than 3/4 of NFL's clubs were planning to attend before the change.
Got it.
So 25 clubs were present for the workout at the new location.
Okay.
And all 32 clubs, their head coaches, general managers, and other personnel executives would have received video footage of the interview, would have received video footage of the interview and workout shot by the Atlanta Falcons video crew, the NFL said in a statement. So that was the plan. They were going to, like, record it, you know what I mean? Document it and share it to everybody in the whole NFL.
And he was like, nah.
And he's like, I'm going to my own space.
Good for him. Seriously, good for him.
Like 30 minutes before. And then so he's about 300 fans and at least 6 scouts came to see him at the new venue. And his representative said, our biggest thing why they did this is because with everything today was our biggest thing with everything today was making sure we had transparency in what went on. We weren't getting that elsewhere, so we came out here.
Wow.
Yeah. So there weren't, they had so many like, yes, no, you can do this. No, yes, you no, no, you can't do that. Yes, you can do this. And they were just like, you know what? If it's not the way we want it, we're not going to do it. And we're going to find our own space.
Good.
And do it over there.
Good.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Do you have any more news?
I do. The Viola Desmond $10 bill is winning awards. It's been 15 years since...
Who's winning an award? Viola Desmond?
The Viola Desmond $10 bill.
Oh, no way!
Yeah! So it's been 15 years since a Canadian banknote was named best in the world.
Okay.
It won 2018 Banknote of the Year Award given by the International Banknote Society. The civil rights hero was the first woman outside the royal family to be on Canadian currency.
Oh!
It's also Canada's... It's also Canada's...
Black woman!
Taking over. It's also Canada's.
The world ain't ready when we take over. So much accountability.
I'm here for it. It's also Canada's first vertical design, which the Bank of Canada plans to carry over to their $5, $20, and $100 bills.
Mm.
It also won for good use of innovative anti-counterfeit technologies.
Oh.
Yeah. Second place went to Switzerland's new 200 franc note. And the last time Canada won for the was for the $20 bill in 2004 and came in second in 2011, 2012, and 2013 to Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I gotta check out what Kazakhstan money looked like.
They're on the map for something. That and Borat.
Yes. I have one more news. Do you have any more news?
No, I'm good.
Oh, so my last news is finally... Celine Dion weighs in on the door, on the door debacle. Why are you saying holy fuck? So Celine Dion, she was very helpful. Don't mute me. Don't do that. Clove loves Celine Dion. So she weighs in if Jack and Rose would fit on the Titanic door screenshot. Remember that?
What's that?
Why do I have that voice?
The Jack and what screenshot?
Remember on Titanic?
Yeah.
Rose, at the very end, they're on the middle of the ocean.
Yeah.
She's laying on the door.
Yeah.
And he's like hanging on.
Yeah.
Holding, and they're holding each other's hand, but he's like laying down on the ocean, right?
Sure.
So one of the debates about that scene was, didn't Rose move over to allow Jack?
She didn't even have to move over. There was still room.
So she was saying, why didn't Rose make room for Jack? Because that was the biggest thing. And here's what she said. Here's a little clip. You gotta play a little clip, okay?
Go for it.
And then I'll repeat
still
what she says.
Being talked about on the internets and on the interwebs. They're saying at the end of the movie, if Rose just scooted over a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just over here, she could have saved Jack's life.
Is that Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah.
Do you agree with this?
Don't put me in trouble.
No, come on! America needs to know.
What if they want to do a Titanic number
the Titanic
two?
Show
no, 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 you
starring,
can't do sorry, Titanic no, number
tonight's
two.
Show starring Jimmy
no,
Fallon.
You can't.
Listen, first of all, if you look closely to the picture, Rose is maybe dead or totally frozen, and she's not quite all there. Okay? Second of all, he doesn't need an invitation.
What? I like it. She's right. He doesn't need an invitation to get on the door.
Comfortable. Jump in.
Yeah.
You know?
He could push her over a little bit.
Who did not think about this guy who's in the middle of the frozen ocean and that maybe all his body is so frozen that he didn't have the strength to jump in for my love.
Oh my God. Jump in.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. You didn't think that he could jump
for her love.
Jump in. Feel the touch.
Jump.
In the warmth. My kisses in the night. Jump for my love. All right, instant.
She brought up some good point.
All right, she's cool.
She's right, right? Rose didn't, she didn't have to tell him to, he could have jumped in.
No, I know. The argument has always been, she could have moved over. They're putting the onus on her.
They're putting it on her.
No, he could have jumped in.
And then she
There's lots of room. Climb up,
and
buddy.
And then that other point, which I was like, that's a good point.
Yeah, he didn't even try. He didn't even try and oh, if I climb up here, we're both going to sink.
Right.
He's just
But she brought up a great point, too, is that half of his body is in the ocean. It's freezing. So he's probably really weak, probably frozen from the bottom, it would be really hard for him to get on the door in the first place.
I think you and Celine are absolutely right because I don't want to fucking talk about this anymore. I'm not going to debate with you. DiCaprio's dumbass.
Well, shout out to Celine. She gave me a new perspective on that. It was like, yeah, that's true. He's in the middle of the ocean and he's cold already. How can he get up if he's
Plus, he's a man.
Clothed?
Am I right?
No, that's wrong. That's no.
What?
I don't co-sign on that. No.
All right.
Bible scriptures. None are too unknown.
Scriptures.
All right, Shirley.
Yes.
It's that crazy time. It's that crazy part of the show where I share what I've read in the Bible and parody it by regurgitating it as an Aaron Spelling-like melodrama.
All right.
Okay, so the players tonight are Deborah, Barak, a prophet, the angel of the Lord, Gideon, and Gideon's father, Joash.
Okay.
So we're doing the Book of Judges, Chapter 5.
Book of Judges, chapter 5. Thank you.
So last time we heard about God keeping some of his enemies around to keep the Israelites on their toes. Othniel saving everyone from Chushan-Rishathaim, a king that has way too many syllables in their name.
Yeah.
Ehud shanked King Eglon for some clout.
Okay.
God killing 10,000 Moabites.
Okay.
Shamgar cattle prodding 600 people to death. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, with cattle prods.
Yeah, and God slaughtering Sisera's army. And finally, we learned how Jael pegged Sisera's head to the ground with a tent peg.
You know what I was thinking?
What's that?
The cattle prods.
Yeah.
Brian was very kosher back then.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
What does that even mean, a kosher cattle prod?
I don't know.
Okay, so we're going into chapter 5, and I call this one solid as a rock.
Nice.
So
solid. Din, 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 din.
Solid as a rock.
Do, 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 do. The Book of Judges.
Chapter 5.
Okay.
So chapter 5 is all about Deborah and Barak singing a duet together.
Oh, that's so funny.
Why?
Are you serious?
Yes. Why is it so funny?
Because we're just singing Solid as a Rock and it's a duet.
That's because I titled it Solid. Solid as a Rock.
Right. Okay. Pay attention, Shirley. Pay attention.
So, wow. So in their duet, they sing about how awesome God is for helping the Israelites.
Okay.
And for doing a bunch of God stuff.
Okay.
Then the song goes into how Shamgar and Jael made everything safe again. And how Deborah's leadership was awesome.
Oh.
And then.
Way to go, Deborah.
Yeah. And then the song goes on about how God chose all the awesome leaders. And the song also praises all the people who helped in taking Israel back again. For some reason now, Deborah and Barak start singing to people sitting on a white donkey.
Okay.
Yeah. Or
those are rare.
They're sitting on white donkeys.
Do they?
I think they're maybe singing to the rich people or something.
Okay.
I don't know. And they tell them to remember all of God's victories.
Okay.
So Deborah and Barak do a lot of bragging in this song about killing kings. Excuse me. And how they helped save everyone and that they were totally not speaking with the people of Meroz anymore because they didn't do shit for God. And then.
They are shady.
Yeah, they're terrible. Meroz. Oof. Mm. Then the song tells the story of Jael and how awesome she is for driving a tent peg through Sisera's head. While he was sleeping, it's pretty gangster stuff, though.
Okay. Right? Is it rap?
No.
Oh.
So then...
is it produced by Dr. Dre?
No, it's not. Oh. Then the song starts going in on Sisera's mom.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And how talking about mamas now?
Yes. And how she must be wondering where her son might be and why he's taking so long to come home.
Wow.
Yes.
Girl, your son ain't coming soon.
Because he's dead with a tent peg in his head. And then the song ends by hoping all of God's enemies will die and that God gives his strength to people who love God. And then it was another 40 years of peace for the Israelites.
Nice.
All right. So, but we both know the pattern that doesn't last long.
At all.
Right. So chapter six.
Don't get comfortable for too long, Israelites, ever.
Book of Judges, chapter six. I call this one, I Saw His Face.
Like so, God's face?
Yeah. So this is the story of Gideon. I don't know if you know the story of Gideon.
No, I okay. don't. So is this, Gideon black? I got to check my black.
I don't know, but I used to know.
Thing. I thought he was black.
A black man named Gideon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a nice, strong name. I like it.
Well, okay. Maybe that'll change after this chapter. But anyways, let's go. So this chapter starts with the Israelites getting invaded by the Midianite people.
Okay.
Because God could see they were up to some terrible shit again.
Oh, boy.
So the Midianites were from the east, and they would team up with other tribes from the east, like the Amalekites, and just camp out everywhere in the Promised Land, which would ruin all the crops trying to be grown by the Israelites all the way to Gaza. And they would kill sheep, cows, and donkeys that belonged to the Israelites.
That's not cool, man.
No, it's not. It's a terrible
thing
to do.
Why gotta be like that?
Yeah. And when they showed up, it was, the Bible calls it, says it was like a swarm of locusts that were uncountable.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Israelites were super poor now because of the Midianites.
Can I be real with you?
Go for it.
If I see a swarm of locusts, I think it would make me very nervous.
I blame the Midianites.
Okay. Same. Yeah.
So like I said, the Israelites were super poor now because of the Midianites. So they started asking God for help again. So God tells a prophet to remind the Israelites about all the shit he did for them in the past, and all they had to do was worship him, and they're just not listening.
Then there would be no issues.
Right.
Just worship.
So cut to a man named Gideon who is hiding so the Midianites won't see him threshing his wheat.
Okay.
An angel suddenly appears and says, "Hey, big boy, God is totally with you." And Gideon is all like, "Excuse me? If God was so down, why is he letting the Midianites do this to us, huh? Mm. Where's all those miracles and stuff that our ancestors used to tell us about? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? Look around, man. God's totally abandoned us."
Mm.
Then the angel is all like, "You're totally strong enough to do this. And it's me, God." So Gideon is skeptical as fuck and is all like, "Whatever, dude. Out of all the clans in Manasseh, mine is the weakest.
Manasseh, Manasseh, Mamakusa.
And of all the families, I'm the brokest."
Mm-hmm.
Then the angel is all like, "God will totally help you destroy the Midianites. Now, kill them all."
Oh, man.
So Gideon is all like, "If you've really chosen me," and it's
Gideon
really,
is very like,
"Yeah,
let me just, okay, let's like have a discussion before we do this, okay?
Let's I'm not talk just gonna,
I'm not like the others where you can just tell me what to do and I'll just go and do it. We got some,
so Gideon,
we got some explaining and researching to do.
I got questions.
Yeah,
I got some questions. So he's like, "If you've really chosen me, and it's really God speaking to me, then just chill here for a minute while I make you an offering."
Okay.
So Gideon goes
inside.
So Gideon goes inside and cooks up some goat, some unleavened bread, and some broth.
And a big, tall, 1 liter juice of animal fat.
Just so they could burn it.
Because you know God loves that.
He loves it.
Loves the smell.
Once he's done cooking, he brings it all outside to the angel. So the angel tells Gideon to put the meat and bread on a rock that's in front of the angel.
Meat and bread.
On a rock in front of the angel.
Okay.
So then the angel uses his magic staff and touches the meat and bread. And as soon as he did that,
it turns into a hot dog.
No.
Oh.
The bread. Although that would be awesome. The bread and meat just burst into fire.
Oh.
Yeah. And at the same time, the angel disappeared.
Oh.
That's when Gideon realized
Oof.
that he looked at the face of an angel of the Lord.
Oh.
And he was super scared. He was scared that he was going to die because of this, because he saw it.
I'd be scared too.
Right. And he was all like, I saw his face. So God quickly like speaks to Gideon and is all like, chill the fuck out, dude. You're not going to die. So Gideon then decides to build an altar and calls it The Lord is Chill.
The Lord is Chill?
Yeah, well.
Okay. No. Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
Which is supposedly it's still standing in a place called Ophrah right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So God then speaks to Gideon later on that same night and is all like, listen, Gideon, your dad has altars to Baal and to Asherah that are kind of getting in the way of my shit. So I need you to tear them down for me. Then use some of these pieces to build an even taller altar. Then bring one of your dad's bulls and burn it in front of the altar as a sacrifice to me.
Love that burn meat.
So Gideon did all of this, yeah. but he did it at night because his neighbors are super gossipy.
Oh, yeah.
You know how it is.
Like he has
back in the promised land.
Jack is his neighbor.
The next morning when the people saw this, they were pissed.
What do I feel like? Like, what's his name? Gideon? Hello, Gideon.
Hello, Gideon.
What's going on? Ooh, what you doing?
Ooh. What you burning?
Why is there balls on burning? Ooh.
So they were super pissed the next morning, the people. They looked around and figured out that it was Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to Gideon's father, Joash, and demanded that he surrender Gideon so that they could kill him.
Wait, say that again?
So the people, when they saw what Gideon had done, when they figured out it was Gideon, they went to Gideon's father, Joash.
Yeah.
And demanded that Joash surrender Gideon so they could kill him.
Okay. All right.
Because he fucked up their altar.
Oh, right. Okay, got it. Okay.
So Gideon's father, Joash, however, was all like,
Joash, I like that.
Are y'all really defending those fake gods? And I guarantee that anyone who sides with those fake gods will be dead before the sun comes up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if Baal was really a god, couldn't he have stopped someone from breaking his altar in the first place? Duh.
That's a read.
So the people of the town decided to rename Gideon Jerubbaal. And collectively decided that if Baal can handle that, Baal can handle his own problems.
Okay.
So now the promised land was covered in Midianites along with other eastern tribes like the Amalekites who joined forces and were camping out in a place called Valley Jezreel.
Okay.
Then Gideon was filled with the spirit and started to blow on a trumpet to signal the Abizrites.
Abizrites.
So he blew in a trumpet to signal them that shit was about to pop off.
Who is he signaling with the trumpet?
The Israelites and the Abizrites.
Okay.
Yeah. So Gideon also sent some messengers to the people of Manasseh. And Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali to answer the trumpet call.
Okay.
So Gideon is still skeptical and is all like, listen, God, I'm going to put a wool fleece blanket outside. And if you really want me to do all this, then when I wake up, if I see dew only on the blanket and it's dry everywhere else, then I'll know you want me to do this.
Okay.
So the next day Gideon woke up and was able to wring out like a whole bowl of water from the dew on the blanket while everywhere else was bone dry.
Yeah. Oh, that is message. Mm-hmm.
So Gideon is still a little skeptical.
I love Gideon. Eh? He's like, yeah.
Need
a little more proof.
You know, yeah. So he's still a little skeptical and is like, okay, don't be mad, but can you do the opposite tonight?
One more.
He's like, can you do the opposite tonight? Like make the blanket bone dry and everything else wet?
Mm.
And God totally hooked him up.
Okay.
Yeah, and totally did exactly what he wanted.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised God was like, oh, come on. What more do you want? I gave you a burning hot dog.
Fun fact. Threshing wheat is when you loosen the edible parts from the chaff.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So next time.
Got it. Okay.
Next time we'll hear about God selecting Gideon's army, a dream predicting Gideon's victory. We will also hear about two princes getting decapitated. We'll hear more about Gideon's. We'll hear more about Gideon and his genocide. We'll hear about his torturing guys from a place called Succoth. And we'll hear about him ordering his sons to kill. We'll also...
Oh my gosh!
We'll also hear about his golden apron. And we'll hear about his death and the legacy he leaves behind.
Wow, this is going to be an adventure of drama. Oh, best plate and the mate. Best plate and donate. Best plate and donate. Best plate, you gotta donate.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we've already read about the book of Judges, chapter 5 and 6. Deborah's an awesome leader, singing on white donkeys. Pass the plate. There's more to this.
Okay.
Gideon just worship. You gotta believe in God. What more proof do you want? This is a ridiculous pass the plate. To us, chonillalove@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought of that Book of Judges chapter 5. We'd love to get your opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question for you.
Fire away.
If a husband and wife both make $80,000 per year, $80,000 per year.
Roger that.
Did I say that right? $80,000? Yeah. Who pays the bill? Who pays the bills?
Wait, if a couple makes $80,000 combined,
mm-hmm.
who pays the bills?
Yeah.
They both do.
Exactly. But some people on Twitter, though, are some twisted, weird answers. One girl said...
I was worried because it sounded like a trick question. I thought I was going to get tricked.
No, but it was just more of some of the responses on Twitter, because when that question was asked...
Yeah, isn't like you put your money into a pool and then you pay what you need to pay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, so one person, this girl said, Chun E said, either you want in-house pussy or not. If you don't, I can use my $80,000 to live in my own place as an unmarried woman. Y'all want women to pay to take part in a situation that hardly benefits us. No.
Well, good for her. That's her prerogative.
And then the guy who wrote the question was like, so pussy, that's all you bringing to the marriage? then she replied back, yes.
Yes.
Some other response that made me laugh, like, a marriage is supposed to be about a man.
I don't think that guy realizes how good that pussy is.
Right? she's like, I know my pussy.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You can bring your Lexus. I'll bring my pussy.
Or this one was like that response. A marriage is supposed to be about a man providing, right?
Oh, boy.
Or another one was, you are the head of the home. You don't want to be the main provider. No, you are the head of the home, but you don't want to be the main provider? Question mark. Make it make sense, Jesus. Men literally live longer when married and benefit more than women. I can tell with this question who has never been married or had a happy partner.
Oh my God.
Hello, dinosaur.
Okay, boomer.
So yeah.
Wow.
Some of the responses, man. I like
one classy folks.
Yeah, like you said, the pool, or just like you do half-half.
You know, yeah,
it's,
I mean,
you put it's all your money, part of the pool anyway.
Yeah, you put your money into the pool and you talk about incoming bills, talk about how you're going to pay them. You talk about like what's going to be left over. You just share that information.
Exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Last thing, I have an interesting listy for you that BuzzFeed asked their community. It's 27 movies that defied expectation and turned out not to suck.
Okay.
And I want to see if you agree with
just
some
five
of these.
Though.
I'll give you
not all 27. Please.
How about 10?
No, five.
10.
Five best ones.
10.
I will mute you after five.
Eight.
So make them count.
Eight.
Five.
Eight.
Five.
Eight.
You're making this worse. Okay. Four.
Oh, come on.
Come on, man.
Okay. So first one was I'm gonna start by eight.
We're gonna do however many you want anyways. Go ahead.
So number eight is Bachelorette. I don't know that one. That came out in 2012. Hold on, I'm gonna see if I can pull up what that looks like, who's in that one.
Okay, we don't move on to the next one.
So the Bachelorette that was made back in 2012.
Who's in it?
I've never seen this one.
Jennifer Lopez.
No. It's with
Kirsten Dunst.
Yes.
Whoa.
How the hell?
I just took a stab.
How did you?
Maybe my brain remembered and I just said it out loud. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
That is very weird.
Yeah, it's Kristen Dunst. The girl who is in the Wedding Crashers.
I don't know.
Redhead.
Oh, I don't know. Oh.
I don't know. I never know her name. She's in The Arrival.
She's in this Superman.
Oh, no, that's not. Is it the same lady from The Arrival? I think it is.
Anyways.
Yes, it is. It is.
I don't know.
And then the girl who is in Castle Rock season 2 that we're watching. She plays the mother who takes all the.
Mean Girls.
Yes, that's right. Yes. She's in Mean Girls. So that's Bachelorette. That's the three women who are. So number 7 is Josie and the Pussycat.
Okay.
Would you agree that it's a movie that defied expectation?
Yeah, I liked it.
I didn't like it.
I liked it. Like, I loved the juxtaposition between, the capitalism and the music industry and the formulations and all of that stuff.
The only thing I liked about that movie is I'm a huge fan of Parker Posey. Like, she's independent film queen, I think.
Okay.
And anything with her, I'm
you're in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all that was the only thing that I just Parker Posey.
Yeah, no, it's a fun watch.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hurricane Bianca was number 6.
Hurricane Bianca. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
With Bianca Del Rio.
Del Rio,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was cute. I mean,
it was cute. It was fun to watch while I'm doing the girl's hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 5 was Just Go With It with Jennifer Aniston and Adam Sandler. That's a Terry Blaine movie. I don't even think we finished that.
Yeah, that was where they
were. That did
like,
not defy.
They started getting involved with some kind of crime.
Yeah,
or
some people, like, because it was a hair. They were, like, invited by this rich dude, and he
in
was.
In a weird way.
And yeah, and it was.
I think I was just too tired to pay attention.
Inheritance,
to it.
And some people started to die.
Right.
And then they were like, yeah, and they're trying to prove that they're not the killers or something.
Right.
So they were trying to, like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's when I tuned out is when they came into the room and the family was like, no, please join us. This is not a family affair.
Yeah.
I was like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Y'all are patsies.
Number 4 was Spice Girls.
I haven't seen it.
Did not defy expectation.
No,
it's not good.
Okay.
Blockers, I still haven't seen it, but that doesn't.
Blockers.
That's with John Cena. Their kids go out on their first date and they're trying to see, and they find out that I think for prom or something, if their kid's going to have sex. I don't know. I think that's the premise.
And I think I saw the trailer for it. Like, I was like, oh.
The trailer didn't push me to ever want to watch.
Right away, I was like, oh, John Cena's entered that phase in his career where he does kids' movies. You know
He has a new one coming out where he's like a firefighter with kids.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So I thought, oh, that fits him a little bit more.
It's amazing how that's like, it's the way it goes.
The direction, right?
Yeah.
Like, The Rock, what's his name? Dwayne Johnson did the same kind of direction.
Yeah.
Galaxy Quest, number 2.
I didn't know there was a second one.
Yeah. Oh, no. Like, number 2 in terms of the movie.
Yeah, Galaxy Quest is dope.
That defied X. Yes, that surprised me. Number 1 was Game Night.
Game Night.
It was with Oh gosh, I'm thinking of Chiquetta right now. Jason Bateman.
Oh, okay. I've only seen the poster for that. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't watched it yet.
Are you I think positive. You fell asleep.
Well, then, yeah. So I still haven't seen it.
Okay. Are you sure? I could have sworn you watched it with me like twice.
You know what? I'll probably watch it and be like, oh, yeah, I did see this two times. But right now I'm just drawing a blank on it.
I have to mention, like, just quick mentions of some of the movies. Like, I won't name too many that's in this list. But I thought, like,
I told you we'd do as many as you wanted.
That defied expectations where I was like, no. Magic Mike XXL.
Right.
I just realized I've never seen any of them.
What?
Never.
I've seen the first Magic Mike twice now.
Not seen any. Not one. Is there three or two?
I don't know. I think it's only two. Yeah.
I think it's two. I haven't seen both of them.
Oh, you got to check them out.
I think I will.
Yeah, they're fun.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay. The last mention will be Grease 2. That defied expectations. Expectation of horrible.
Really?
You've seen Grease 2, right?
Yeah, a long time ago.
It's so bad.
Which one is the one that's the second one?
It's
the second one is with Danny Terrio.
Who is that?
I don't know.
Oh, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah, and I think Danny Terrio.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, well, let me look that up.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. Oh, it was so bad, Grease 2. It's probably the worst movie I ever watched in my life.
It's probably not Danny Terrio. But yeah, anyways,
I don't know who that is.
It's a horrible movie. I've never watched it.
Yeah. I think that was like her come up kind of movie or something like that. But yeah, no, it's really
It's funny
bad.
That you mentioned Grease, because I remember when I was in kindergarten, there used to be like, you know how some kindergartens have like this moment where all the kids kind of dance it out and they just like get all that energy out, you know what I mean, before they go on a nap or something like that?
Okay.
I remember in my kindergarten class them playing Grease Lightning.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, but there's like cuss words in Grease Lightning.
Is there?
Yes.
I don't remember. Are you sure?
Yeah, I remember distinctively hearing the word shit. And I was like,
that's nothing.
As a kindergarten kid, I was like, what?
It was the 80s. No
this
big
is
deal.
So rock and roll.
Were you like, oh my God, he said shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, did you guys hear that?
Yeah, so that's the list. That's it for the show, huh?
That's it.
This is where we say goodbye.
This is where we say goodnight.
Again, email us chonillalove@gmail.com. Send us if you have any relationship questions. We'd love to provide you some good advice or some really
terrible
bad advice. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Stitcher, or any other podcast players. What do you have to say goodbye? I forgot. Follow us on Twitter @Chonilla. Find us on Instagram @ChonillaLove. Join the group, the Chonilla Podcast. When you go on Facebook, just search for the group, the Chonilla Podcast, and like our page. At Chonilla, or just Chonilla. Just search for that and you'll find us on all social media platforms. But if you really want to interact with us the most, I really recommend that you join the group, because that's where we're at the most. And we share some cool news that catches our attention. And feel free to share what you find.
What catches your attention.
And maybe we might talk about it on the show.
Sounds good.
What's the quote of the evening?
Often our position as black women is dishearteningly tenuous within university walls. We are literally the last hired and the first fired.
Good.
And that's from But Some of Us Are Brave, Black Women's Studies.
That's a good one. I do have it just saying. Motivation from the inside, equal inspiration. Just saying.
No idea what all that meant.
I'm just saying.
We'll see everybody next time.
Later.
Bye. FKA Twigs.
She's awesome. She used to date Robert Patterson.
Who's that?
The guy who was in... every time... I always forget. The vampires that are made out of diamonds.
Fuck. Twilight?
Twilight! Yes. They're like engaged, actually.
Great. I'm glad to hear it.
She said that she experienced so much racist comments when they were together.
Yeah, that was really messed up.
And she said also in an article that, she always was considered someone who looked odd.
Right.
You know, because her she has really big eyes. And right. So she's very, interesting looking. Like,
yes.
She's fascinating to look at, I think.
Yes.
And, but she said that it was weird how through her connection of whiteness being with this white man, that all of a sudden made her attractive. And that was really weird.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really, I have to finish the article. It's really, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Where she says that how weird that was. Right? Gourmet Goober said, especially the part about the fake hair was really because it was blonde.
That's ridiculous, right?
Yeah. When she said that, I had to fight not to say shut up. Oh,
yeah, bitch, please. Right?
Sounds like there's going to be a lot of things. You're like, that's going to be happening.
We're only chapter 7. And wow. the Israelites have fucked up every chapter. Every fucking chapter, the Israelites are getting out of pocket. Come on.
You're just not getting it. Oh.
Wait, you're still listening to podcasts? Well, if you love this episode of the Chernobyl Podcast so much, just head over to iTunes or Spotify to subscribe and review it. I guess.